Good morning, everybody. Is it good to be in the house of the Lord or what? Wow, what a time we've already started off with. Glory to God. Are you excited? Are you ready? Are you hungry? You know, God moves where there's hungry people. One of my friends, Bruce Black, some of you might know or remember Bruce and Cindy Black, he told me one time, he said, you know what, I'm convinced that God doesn't give a rip about your doctrine. What he does care about is when you get hungry and desperate for him. You know, I have found out over the years of different revivals, you know, looking back at different revivals, God's always moved upon a group of people when they got hungry, when they weren't satisfied. You know, hungry people annoy non-hungry people. If you're hungry, you'll probably make someone else a little annoyed. But you know what? You can tell the hungry people. They're the people like Bartimaeus that says, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me now." Like the woman with issue of blood. She says, "I'm going to touch his garment. I'm going to touch his garment. I'm going to get what I came for." So there is a need for us to be stirred up and be awakened to more. How many of you believe that God's got more for you? I believe that God wants us to make room for more. Everyone say, "I want more." Say, "I'm hungry." You know, different times of your life, you know, it's easy to come to a place where you kind of get a little complacent. You know, you can kind of get to a place where, you know what, I know a lot. I've been working the Word. I've been sowing. I've been doing what I've been, doing all my life. You know, I know what works. I know what doesn't work. But there's something about going further. There's something about getting hungrier than you've been. Why don't we just stand up again? I want us to pray together. Hallelujah. I'm excited about, are you ready for this whole week, what's about to happen? There's a unique door of heaven open over us this week. And I believe that these meetings will be different than anyone yet, you know. Of course, you could say that. I mean, I've never seen the Holy Spirit move the same way twice. Amen. But there's such an urgency in the realm of the Spirit. And you all did hear there's an election going on. And I believe that God is setting us up for some things. He's preparing our hearts for things. He's getting us ready for some things. You know, Brother Hagin always taught this and admonished us to always, be mindful of eternity. A lot of people prepare in their life for just what's here now. But there's coming a day, it's going to be the last day. There's going to be a day when it's going to be the day He appears. And everything that we do, every area of life that we participate in, if it's not with eternity in mind, we might miss out on exactly the full measure of what God is really wanting to do right now. We've lived life long enough to know that we know how to work the Word. We know how to call in things. And I tell you what, if there's any church I know knows how to work the Word, it's Redeeming Love Christian Center. I mean, just the fact that you guys believe God for $80,000 a week. I mean, that alone is a testimony. I mean, wow. And, but Redeeming Love know some things about working together with God. Amen. So I want us to pray here before we go any further, and I just believe that there's a unity that we can come into. There's something special that's beyond comprehension about the unity factor and us being in one accord and the corporate anointing. And I believe God's got some special words for different ones, and we're just going to, you know, go with the Holy Ghost on whatever He wants to do and say. But why don't you just lift up one hand towards heaven and let's pray. Father, we just thank You for grace. Thank You for that window of heaven that is open over this place. We thank You, Father God, that as we come together that faith is touching you, it's touching heaven, and together corporately, we unite our hearts together. We agree, we believe together that we're going to go higher, we're going to go further, we want more, and we'll experience more. Father, we thank you for an outpouring of the fire of God in this place. The fire of God in this place. Changing us. Burning out things that need to be burned out and removed. Ha ha. Thank you, Father, for the increase into our spirit, man. Each and every one of us seeing things like we've never seen before. Understanding and knowing things like we've never known before. Father God, we are hungry for a move of you, a move of God. We thank you, Father God, that in this place we'll see you manifest. We'll see you do things. We'll hear you say things. Father God, we need you, and we ask for your presence to be manifested in this place today and the next service and the next service. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we know that we can not do anything without you, but with you all things are possible. Hallelujah. Do you believe that, church?
Yes.
So, Father God, we set ourselves in agreement that this is a beginning of this is that. This is that. That we've believed for, that we've spoken, that we've called for, the things that we've longed for, the things that we hunger for, the things that has been prophesied. We'll be able to say, this is that. It, that may not look like we've seen before. But we thank you, Father God, we're on the horizon, even in this meeting, embarking onto new territory and taking new ground and going up higher into places in you. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you've already revealed yourself, your plan. Well, you've already revealed. You've already revealed. You've already revealed it. So, Father God, this week, we're depending on you to help us to experience the fullness of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's not enough to talk about it, Lord. We've been talking about it. We've preached it. We've taught it. You've shown it to us. Oh, Father, help us to just go ahead and jump on in. Help us to just go ahead and jump on in to the flow. There's a flow. There's a flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for a divine flow of utterance. Divine flow of manifestations. Oh, Father God, you know how many people have so many needs. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the glory, the glory, the glory manifesting. The glory, your glory being manifested in this place. Even as you have begun this morning, and we sense your presence, and we sense your grace. We thank you, Lord, as we humble ourselves and seek your face, repent from our ways. Father, I thank you that you're hearing from heaven and you hear our prayers. And we thank that we'll have that which we've asked of you, and you will heal this land. Oh, Father God, we need our land healed. We need this land healed. We're pressing into you because we must be carriers of everything that you said you would do. We have to be carriers of it. And so, Father God, we're depending on you. Because righteousness does need a voice. We thank you for the voice that you've given us on this earth, the voice of authority that we speak forth in your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. We'll never be the same. We'll never be the same. Say, I'll never be the same. After this week. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So good to be with you today. So good to be with you. Hallelujah. I don't want to talk about how you all know that Annie and I are your favorite ministers of the group that are here. And we'll keep that between ourselves. You know what I'm talking about. We were here before. We already rehearsed this. But It's a complete honor once again. We never take it lightly. I don't know. I've been stirring my own heart, even though I'm not one of the keynote speakers. I get to minister this morning, but I'm hungrier than I've ever been. I just came out of 16 service revival, and I saw the fire like I've not seen it before. I saw miracles. I saw healings. I saw God do some things that I haven't seen before. And all I can tell you is that He moves with hungry people. He doesn't move with complacent people. He doesn't move upon people who are just checking things out. You know, there's a different kinds of touch. You can touch out of curiosity, or you can touch that with a heart of expectation. But God is the one who knows the difference, and He knows when it's different with you. Yes. Yes. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I think He's getting ready to talk to you. Just about every minister I know that have had encounters with God, it's when they got desperate about being dissatisfied. Yes. There is something you can easily get lulled into thinking that just because you have a union, aren't you glad you have a union with Him? Aren't you glad you're in covenant with Him? Aren't you glad for everything about the atonement, about you are one with Him, He's in you, you're in Him? I mean, we have it better than any of the prophets that lived on this earth. I mean, all the prophets, they were used by God when the hand of the Lord was upon them. You and I don't just have the hand of the Lord that comes upon us. We actually have Him dwelling in us. But with that said, I found out through the Word of God that it's those that seek Him will find Him. I found out in the Word of God, those that want to be satisfied by Him, He satisfies the longing soul and He filleth the hungry soul with His goodness. If you draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. If you hunger and you thirst after Him, you will be filled by Him. Now, I believe that that still applies to people who are born again, like you and I, spirit-filled, blood-bought, blood-washed, know your authority, know who you are in Him. But there still is a, like the, what was the speaker, or the singer who sang, sang the song, Come Away With Me? Morse Chapman? You know, when he would sing that song, Come Away With Me, there's still a beckoning call to come away with Him. You can know many things. You can have great revelation, but unless you have it in your heart that I know there is more, I'm not going to stay satisfied where I've been, and I'm going to press in further than I've ever been. You know, I still think about David when he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. I still look around sometimes when it's worship time, and I'm thinking, how are we doing with that, bless the Lord, with all that's within me part? Because I've asked people at times, what would you look like if you actually one time believed or worshiped God with everything that's within you? What would you look like? I mean, it would look kind of extraordinary in here if you believed Jesus was coming before we all got out of here, and this was your last time to worship Him. Your last time to cry out to Him in adoration and just worship Him and magnify Him and give Him glory for all that He's done for you already, all the times He's come through for you, all the times He's healed your body, all the times He's been there time after time after time. It might just be your last time to say, oh God, I can't help. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed bacon for bread. So I have a reason to shout. I have a reason to lift my hands. I have a reason to give you glory. Look what the Lord has done. Look what He's done again and again and again and again and again. And He'll do it again. And He's going to do it again. And He's going to do it tonight. And He's going to do it on Monday. He's going to do it on Tuesday. He's going to do it on Wednesday. Because we're in covenant with a God who cannot lie. And He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. But when you get desperate, when you realize that there's something to be said about seeking Him and longing for Him and having a craving for Him, that something begins to change. Things begin to move. I've talked to many ministers, and I like to ask ministers sometimes when we're just kicking it around, and we talk about things that how God has manifested in extraordinary ways, and we have found out that it's those times when hunger was the factor. You know, I remember A.E. Allen, he told his wife, he goes, I'm going to go into the closet, and I'm going to have an encounter with God, and I'm not coming out, and if I don't, he goes, I'm going to stay in my closet until I die, until I get an encounter with God. He was in his closet for 14 days, didn't eat a thing. He was in his closet for 14 days, and all of a sudden, on the 14th day, the power of God hit him, and it revolutionized his life. It transformed him, and he entered into the healing and miracle, miraculous ministry. But he got to a point where he said, I'm going into this prayer closet, and he told his wife, I'm not coming out until I have an encounter with God. Amen. And so, you know, I've talked to, you know, people like Rodney Howard Brown. And I remember one time Jim was talking to Brother Rodney, Aaron and Jim at a Charlie Mitchell's restaurant. I believe it was a burger place. And you asked Brother Jim, Brother Joe, Rodney, excuse me. He said, when did all this begin, this new anointing? And at one point he said, well, take my hand. And then he had you take Aaron's hand. And the power of God flowed through you and flowed into Aaron. And he said, that all happened when I got hungry. He goes, matter of fact, he goes, I got really, really hungry. He said, then I got really, 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 really hungry. He goes, somewhere between being really, really, really hungry and getting really, 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 really hungry, he said, that's when the power of God showed up. And so we're entering into a place where we're touching eternity. And things are getting ready to explode on this earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 11th chapter, verse 28. He says, come unto me. He goes, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Church, I want to just say that this Life in the Spirit conference, can I ask you a question? Do you feel like it's changed your life? How many of you here at this ministry, you could say over the last few years, because this is what year, like the fourth time we've had this conference here, you can say that there is something that's happened within you. You're much more aware of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand if you'd say it's really been changing your life, because I'm convinced that there is a need for us to fully embrace this place where if we don't go higher, if we don't go farther, if we're not applying what we're getting in these meetings, we're going to really come up short. Right at the time when God's ready to just blow things up. And God's, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, it's time. And so there is a great need for us to realize that in every facet of our lives, we're seeing the Holy Ghost moving with us. And we're moving with the Holy Spirit. It's not just one area that the Holy Spirit wants to be involved in. He wants to direct you in your finances. He wants to show you how your healing is going to come forth this time. It's not a mystery that, you know, I remember Brother Copeland, was asking about praying out mysteries. He goes, the reason why we pray out mysteries is because it's not a mystery God wants you blessed. It's just a mystery of how He's going to get it to you this time. And so there's sometimes a mystery, and even in giving, you give and you're not sure what God's going to do, what avenues you're going to have to go into, and how you're going to navigate this path. How are we going to get over to the victory side of this financial need? Well, that's all about being sensitive and surrendered to the voice of the Holy Spirit and moving with Him. When He says to move this way, you move here. Invest here, invest there. Save here, do this, do that. And that, if these meetings aren't affecting all of the areas of our life, we're not making the connection. And so there are going to be, you know, before we can continue to go higher and further and to the next level, we've got to implement these things so that we're able to receive and make room for more. The Lord's not going to give you more if you haven't used what you got. Let me say that again. You're not going to probably get more if you've not utilized and used what He's already shown you. And that's not a real... I'm going to get to something you're going to like here in just a minute. But these are the kind of things, you know, you just kind of like, okay, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to get fully all in. Everyone say, I'm all in. Now, I know that not everyone can say that boldly. You know, I'm looking across the room. I can see different ones of you. You know we can see you, right? And when I say see you, I don't mean just in the natural. You know, you don't realize it. Remember, was it Linus or Charlie Brown? Who had the little cloud that followed him all the place? Pigpen? Was it Pigpen that had the little cloud followed him? Like a little dust cloud? You know, sometimes people walk in the church and you can see that as a minister. You know, just like you can see a death mask. I've seen that. But you can sometimes see, you can see things on people where you can tell somehow they haven't either made the connection or they just haven't made a decision. I'm all in. Amen. So everyone say, I'm all in. So did you all know that, let me ask you, did you vote? Raise your hand if you voted. Okay, something is wrong right now. Who has committed, either you have voted or you promise? Let me rephrase the question. How many of you promise you are voting? Wow. Not even half the people. I want to make sure I'm seeing this right. Let me ask one more time. Would you work with us? Because I want to take you somewhere. But this is one of those areas that we have authority on this earth. You may not have a better opportunity to release your authority than this election. And I'm not even going to suggest which candidate. You know, the one that gets in office may not be the one you prefer. I would like it to be the one I prefer that I believe with everything within me is the better choice. And I don't want to dare mention the choice because some of you would shut off in this service the moment I said it. I know my audience. But listen, we have an opportunity, and don't be talked out of. Listen, child of God, born again, Spirit-filled Christian, child of God, don't miss this opportunity to release your faith and know you got a part. And this is your voice, and this is a significant, even if it's not the tiebreaker, it is a significant moment in time and in life for you to exercise your authority and who you are in God and express it with a vote. Amen. And let me encourage you about something. You know, I was in a service with Brother Keith Moore. Some of you all know him. And I was in his service, and he said, you know what? I was praying about, you know, the political realm and everything. And he said, the Lord said something to him that kind of surprised him a little bit. He said, Brother Keith, I need to tell you something. He goes, I'm not a Democrat. I go, okay. And he said, Brother Keith, he goes, I'm not a Republican. And then he said, Brother Keith, he goes, I'm not an American. You know, that might be surprising to some people that God's not an American. You know, we kind of look at life in light of America only. I do believe in America first, but it's not America only. And I was talking to Christopher Alum, who I was talking to him. He called me on my birthday, which is August the 23rd. Y'all can write that down. I'm just kidding. He called me up, and I said, I just was curious, because he was talking about, he has a couple of pastors that he submits himself to. Like, Lord, he says to these pastors, if there's anything you see in my life that's not quite right, would you let me know what you see? I thought, wow, that's really interesting, someone who's had 35 million people saved in his ministry to tell a couple of pastors, listen, if you see something where I'm missing it. How many of you have had 30 million people saved in your ministry yet? I didn't think so. So I said, because I was begging him that he didn't want to tell me how many people he's had saved in his ministry. I said, please, I'm really asking you for a couple of reasons. How many people? He said, well, there was a number of years, about 30 years, he goes, we were counting about 1 million people a year we were getting saved. And I said, and then I stopped counting, he said. I said, would you say conservatively 35 million people? He goes, yeah, that's probably something like that. And I said, it's probably more, isn't it? He goes, well. And he told me one time, we were in Pennsylvania near his home and in Lancaster, riding the car, and this is when Hillary and President Trump were running. And he said to me, he goes, you know what, Kevin? He goes, it might be the best thing that Hillary gets in there. And he goes, it might be the next best thing if they take away our 501c3. You know, that's the tax-exempt status that we have. He said, yeah, it might be the best thing that could happen to the church. He goes, maybe the church would stop getting bought out. Because there's a lot of decisions that a lot of ministries and a lot of churches make that's based upon whether the government is their sugar daddy or not. And, you know, I was in Brother Rodney Howard Brown's office. I said, who do you think is going to be in office? And, you know, he's one, you might have seen a photo of in the White House, and his hand was on President Trump's, the last election when President Trump got in. His hand was on his back. You could tell by his ring. And he's had entrance to him and Mar-a-Lago and has talked to him. And I was asking him, who do you think will be in office? And he goes, I really don't care. Because our trust is not in man. It really doesn't matter who's in office. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And so people are very concerned about the election. I want you to turn, if you would, to Jeremiah. I know this may seem like I'm a little scattered over, but I've got a number of things just kind of rolling around, and I'm just going to do my session here, and I'm going to hit on these few things that I feel like the Lord has prompted me to, and we'll see what happens with that. But turn, if you would, to Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. We're trusting for utterance and unction here. Jeremiah chapter 17. I think Pastor Ed already referred to this scripture, some degree of it, but verse 5 says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. So I looked at another translation here of this. I believe it's the Passion Translation. Pull it up here real quick. Bear with me. So the Passion Translation says this, verse 5. Yahweh said to me, even a strong person is cursed when his confidence rests in his own strength. To place your confidence in the strength of man means that you are turning your heart away from me. That person is like a desert tumbleweed in a dry and dusty desert, in a rocky wilderness without inhabitant. Even when goodness is all around him, he won't experience it. Verse 7, I will bless with happiness the one who trusts in me, the one who trusts me alone. He is like a tree planted in the riverbank, extending its roots into the streams of water. It does not fear when scorching heat comes, for its leaves remain fresh and never fading. Even in a year of drought, it has no anxieties, but continues to bear luscious fruit. So I want to admonish you. We got a couple days here. We're going to find out whose administration is in the White House. The most important thing, I'll be honest with you, it kind of took me by surprise when I saw not nearly enough hands saying you're voting. I'm not sure if I get that, because I've got so much respect for this place, but there's something wrong about that. And you need to know there's something wrong about that. Whatever it takes for you to get someone to get you to a voting booth, I adjure you, in the name of Jesus, to take your place, church. It's taking your place. Can I have a really good amen?
Amen.
And this is your opportunity to take a stand. And I do realize, you know, if you go to the Lincoln Memorial, we were talking about this in the vehicle the other day. It would take too much time to read it to you. But how many of you have ever been to the Lincoln Memorial? If you ever go there and you look at the walls, carved into the walls of that Lincoln Memorial is a basically a whole description of the North and the South, and both parties thought that they were doing what they were doing for God. They both believed that they were fighting for a righteous cause. They both thought that in all of their knowledge and all of their ability, they were voting for what God was. They were all claiming God's will to be done. But the outcome ended up being the right outcome. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But there was two parties going separate directions, both believing they were fighting for the righteous cause. And I do know this, when it's all said and done on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
This is what we're going to, for me and my house,
yes.
We're going to serve the Lord. And I've got complete peace and joy and confidence and happiness. It doesn't matter who gets in office. I don't care what the agenda is. It's like Brother Rodney says, I don't really care who's in office. We're trusting the Lord. We got a mission, and that is the Great Commission. That is to reach the harvest, because we're going to be out of here in a few years. And we were talking about this at dinner with Miss Robin, and aren't you glad she's back with us on this time? Amen. You probably, a lot of you like me, you prepare yourself sometimes and you get in the presence of God using her music. How many of you do that? If you haven't picked up her music, I would highly recommend it, because I listen to her stuff all the time. And what were we saying? We were talking last night at the dinner table that, Billy Brim just had another conference, you know, and she's an end time specialist. She has her ear tuned. God has given her assignment to be a witness for the end time events, for the last days, preparing the way of the Lord. And there's others that we all have friendship with that the best of the best have basically revealed that we will not make it past the year 2030. Well, if that is in the, I mean, that seems to be a harmony flow out there. And there's some that would say it's even before then. Well, if 5 years is all that we have left on this earth, the church, You know, every word of God is going to come to pass. Everyone say, every word of God. Not just the ones we like. Every prophetic word will come to pass. And so that's why we say we must do our part, plead our case, take a stand for righteousness, and do whatever's in your heart. And this would be one of the best times to follow the Holy Ghost and what He's telling you to do. But by all means, please let your voice be heard. Can I see a hand if anyone's been affected by what I just said? Amen. I see a couple of you back there. I believe, turn if you would to 1 Kings. Like I said, I'm just dropping off some things that I perceive the Holy Ghost wanted me to stir your hearts up on. There was a time, if you all know King Solomon, coming after his father's reign, David's reign, that he was an insecure young man, not feeling like he had all that he needed to have to do what his father did. He was just a young man, and he was given a great responsibility. And so, the old famous train. I want to see something here, 1 Kings chapter 3. It says this in verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar." Verse 5. See if you would like for God to do this for you. Verse 5. "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what you shall, and I will give it you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued in great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king, king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." I didn't know how to get in and out of the rain. "And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted." Verse 9, "Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for life, the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was not anyone like before you, nor shall there be any that arise after you." Now, that's a phenomenal statement. So you could almost build a case here that Solomon became the wisest man that ever lived. "And I have also given you what you have not asked for." Okay, so God's taken notice that Solomon didn't just ask for a bunch of stuff for himself. Unselfishly, he saw that there was a great need for the people. He said, "Lord, I want to help people. And so because I want to help people, I'm not asking you for it. Nothing wrong with a new car, nothing wrong with a new house, nothing wrong with going on a nice cruise. I mean, God created everything for us to enjoy. And that's part of the abundant living, the abundant life that God's said, if you'll, you know, be willing and obedient, you'll eat the best that this world has to offer. That includes all that good stuff. Nothing wrong with it. But a lot of people have asked amiss, the Bible says, because they've asked with a desire to heap up lusts and pleasures for themselves instead of the purpose of the kingdom. But it says here in verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So he's given him the pleasures of life. He's giving him riches. He's given him glory, and he's giving him long life. All because he chose. Now, how many of you know that Solomon is the one he showed and demonstrated one of the most wise moments in the Bible? There was two women that had babies, and one of the woman's baby died. And then they both came to the king and said, hey, that baby belongs to me, not hers. And Solomon said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll settle this right now. We'll just kill both babies. We'll have the baby in half, and we'll give one half of the baby to the other. Well, then one of the mothers said, no, give the baby. It belongs to her. And then King Solomon says, well, there's the mother right there. Because no mother would dare let their child die. So she sacrificed even having her own child because she wanted her child to live. I'm talking to you about, if you think about what happened here is the power of having confidence for you to ask God for something. When God spoke to Gideon in the night at the end of his bed, he said, ask what I shall give you. How many of you would like for God to show up in the middle of the night, stand at the foot of your bed, and ask you to ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you? How many of you would like that? This is not an I dream a genie moment. This isn't, came out of the bottle, those kind of things. But wouldn't you love for the Lord tonight to stand at your foot of the bed and goes, listen, I'm here. I've heard your prayers. Now, do you just tell me right now, whatever you ask, I will do. I would like to present to you that he already has. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you have not asked me for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I think God's interested in you asking and your joy being full. Then we see in the 14th chapter, verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, verse 13, I will do it. And that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything, if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Brother Hagin used to tell us that he knew a Greek scholar, somebody who was beyond the normal knowledge of people who were scholars. He said that actually that verse, he said, verse 14 says, God is actually saying, if I don't have it, I will make it for you. So what God did for Solomon, God has actually already done for us. You can get excited any moment you want to about that. I believe redeeming love, church, and you as an individual, we can contend and believe God even in these meetings. That we could ask for some things and go ahead and see God do. I think some of us Word of Faith people, we're so used to declaring some things and just speaking the things out, and we never even asked for it. There is something to be said. You're on the hook when you actually decide to ask him for that. Do you know what I'm saying? Because we can all be a parrot and say things. But if you personally ask God for that thing you're contending for, now you have launched. Now your heart has been committed to lay hold on something that you don't see yet. You may know it, because we do know some things we haven't seen yet. We know some things, but we haven't seen some things. So we have an invitation to ask for some things. You know, I'll trust that this testimony of mine will solidify the need to go ahead and help you launch again and afresh. You know, when we all learn some things about faith and everything, you know, we got really aggressive about speaking the word, claiming things, you know, releasing our faith, asking in Jesus' name, using our authority. And I think some people, like I said, they're believing for things to happen before they actually have released their faith and asked Him. And we have found that God loves questions when you ask Him. And matter of fact, I believe it's a significant part to getting better at life in the Spirit is when you ask questions. And if you've got questions, God will give you the answer. And He's well able because He's the one that answers before you even call. And Annie and I, we had an opportunity to minister in mainland China. My brother's a missionary there, and he's been there for a number of years now. But we got an opportunity. We were invited to help him in a meeting where there were 500 ministers in the underground church. There is 3 cell churches that are registered with the government, and they can only grow to 200 people, and all their sermons have to be registered with the government. So that's why the full gospel Pentecostal churches, which they're against most of any of that, they go underground. That doesn't mean you're under the ground. That just means you're meeting in places, not announcing to the government where you're at. And they move around. My brother had many, many, many church services and a karaoke bar. Karaoke's don't strike it up at Sunday morning. So they would have their church service. They would use their sound, their speakers, their lighting. And they would have churches at the karaoke bar and have blowout Holy Ghost meetings. Well, we got invited to do this meeting with 500 ministers in the underground church. And so we were all excited about that. And so before going there, we had had some debt that, don't throw anything at me. I don't know if anybody, has anyone here besides me had any debt? Anybody? You know, I have a minister friend that was talking to Dub Hagen, Brother Hagen's brother. And he said, you know what blessed me the most is when I found out Brother Hagen was borrowing money from his brother. He goes, that set me free. Anyways, I'll just leave that with you. But we had some debt, and I told, we were getting ready to do this international trip. We were going to L.A. We were stopping off and doing some meetings in Hawaii, then on to China. And we needed some credit card limit, and we were so maxed out in a couple places that I said, okay, we had money in the account. We just didn't want to, you know, pay it all off quite yet for a certain reason. And so I said, listen, let's really pay those credit cards down now so that we got plenty of room to utilize credit cards for hotels and rental cars and all the stuff that we're going to be doing on this trip. And so we made that decision. Well, when we landed in L.A., in the middle of the night, and I probably have said this before, but the Lord seems to like 4:30 in the morning with me. And I've had many pretty amazing spiritual dreams at 4:30 in the morning. And so the Lord woke me up, and I was like in between sleeping. But I had this spiritual dream. This is most bizarre. But in the last days, God will speak to His people through dreams and visions. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men dreams. I guess I'm on the 6th floor now, so I guess I qualify for the dream portion of that scripture. And so I woke up, and what I saw so vivid, so clearly, is our pastor, Pastor Scott Webb in Birmingham, where we were attending that church for 20 years. Now we live in Orlando, so that's not our home church anymore. But at that time, when I had this dream, pastor's wife, Miss Phyllis, came and found Annie and I, and she grabbed me by the back of the arm, and she goes, come with me. She goes, the prophet has something to say to you. And I had all this financial weight on me and everything, and we come out here, and it must have been the Marriott Courtyard Hotel, because there was a gazebo out there in the middle of these buildings. I thought, well, that's the Courtyard Hotel. So I get out there, and here, Dr. Ed Dufresne, prophet of God, and Paul Crouch was sitting in the gazebo. I know this sounds a little kind of crazy, but she led me out there, and I stand in front of the prophet, and the prophet goes, now concerning your finances, here's how it's going to happen. And he told me everything I wanted to hear. I mean, it was exciting. The more he talked, the happier we got. He was saying something like, your prayers have touched heaven. That debt's going to be removed. I couldn't really remember, but he was saying everything. He couldn't have said anything better. And he goes, that's what the Lord said. We left him, went into like a side hallway, and Annie and I went in this hallway, and we were like two little schoolgirls. We were so excited, so happy. We were kind of like almost giddy and jumping up and down, like, did you hear what the prophet said? This is awesome. And we were so excited, and then I woke up. Y'all realize this was a dream. Holy Ghost, well, Solomon had a dream, all right? And that dream was real. The spiritual dream is an event with God. And so I was all excited, and I woke up, and I have the anointing all over me. I'm laying there. I'm almost trembling. And I knew, get up, get into the bathroom. You know, there's not a whole lot of room in a hotel room, the Westin Hotel there across the street from the airport. And I got my notepad, I got my pen out, and that's not something you want to do at 4:30 in the morning. You know, traveling ministers don't usually do much at 4:30 in the morning. You know, we like to sleep in sometimes. I'm sitting on the only seat in the bathroom. I've got my notepad, I got my pen out. I said, Lord, tell me exactly now how you said that, because I want to get it right, because I know you're going to have me report, share it with people. And so I was sitting there going, now, Lord, here's what happened. Dr. Dufresne said, now, here's what I'm saying about your finances. And I went to write, and I couldn't get it. I said, well, that's weird. So I stopped for a moment. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to help you out. Here's how it went down. You said, Phyllis took me by the arm. I remember you showing me that. She took me by, and I went out to the courtyard, gazebo. I see Dr. Dufresne there. Now, when I stepped in front of him, the prophet said, now concerning your finances, now, Lord, what was the rest of that? And I'm like sitting there like a pen of a ready writer, man. I'm ready to write this thing down. And I couldn't get it. Now, I've learned how to go to what we call dipping school. That's this, your spirit resides down here in your belly. And we're learning in these life in the spirit meetings how to reach down into that place and draw up out of the well. The wells of salvation that's in you. We're learning how to draw up out of your spirit. It's not here, it's here. Matter of fact, if you press too hard in your mind, you're on the wrong road. The best thing you could do is chill, relax, go into speaking other tongues until peace comes back on you, and let it come up.
Yes.
Just get out of your mind. It's not going to come that way. So I stopped. I was frustrated. I said, now, Lord, one more time. I got to get this. I'm not going to just make up what you said. I want to repeat this just the way you said it. Miss Phyllis took me by the arm, led me out to the gazebo. The prophet of God said, concerning your finances. Now, the next thing he said was, and I'm ready to write, and I get nothing. And I'm thinking, I know this is a spiritual moment. I know this is you speaking to me. I know you're trying to get something to me. What is it? Why can I not hear what you're saying? And the Holy Ghost said, I left it blank on purpose so you would fill it in yourself. He said, the Holy Ghost said, I left it blank on purpose, so you will fill it in. Is there anything you would like to fill in this morning? Remember, Solomon had an invitation. Whatever you ask of me, I will do it. I just read three scriptures from the Gospel of John that said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you. Hitherto have you asked me nothing. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do it. If you ask anything in my name, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. Isn't that what we just read? So he said, fill in the blank. Everyone say, I'm going to fill in the blank. So we got to Hawaii. And I get off the plane, and I get a call from our office saying this. All that headroom that you put in there when you paid off your debts, the credit card companies knocked off your available credit. They don't want you to have that much credit anymore. They just shrunk it down. So where we made it like several credit cards, like there was now $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 available, it all went down to like $1,000 available. We're getting ready to do an international trip involving China. So I'm just being told by all of my credit cards, you don't have that money now that you need to do all your stuff on your missions trip. So we go to Hawaii, we do a couple services there, then we're off to China. We get to this meeting in China, 500 leaders in the underground church, 500 leaders representing thousands of people in the underground church world in China, 500 leaders. My brother is on the hook for 10 grand. He put up all these nationals, all these Chinese ministers. He personally paid for their rooms and paid for their food to come to the conference. We got into some meetings, and my brother told me this. He says, listen, Kevin, he goes, you'll notice that I will not receive any offerings from these people till the time is right. I went, what do you mean? He says, well, he goes, some of these people and some of these ministers have been abused by other missionaries that have come in there and kind of date raped the church, kind of took an advantage of them, and they're very skittish about it. He said, so we're gonna build some trust. We're just going to minister, and we're not going to take up one offering until they trust us and they know we're here for them. I said, sounds good to me. So we get in these meetings. We had done several services, and all of a sudden, was it after we left the service, Annie? During a morning service, Annie is up speaking, and she sees some wrestling over here. There's these blackout curtains around the building so people couldn't be walking by seeing in the building. And Annie sees this commotion going on, and all of a sudden you can see they are communicating with my brother on the front row, and all of a sudden Dale stands up and looks at Annie, and Annie just looks at him and goes, are we done? Because we already knew we had some contingencies set up. They have contingencies that because of the threat of the Chinese secret police, they have boxes ready to come into the building, and everyone passes their Bibles down the row, puts it in the boxes, and they haul it off the back, and then they pass out travel agent brochures so that it looks like they're having a travel agency convention. And I don't know if you had to do any of that before you came here this morning, but this is how they roll over there. And they've got people on radios reporting to my brother and his team that if they see any suspicious police cars or Chinese secret police going around the building, they immediately report that. Matter of fact, in their church, when they have services, they if someone's there in the church that they don't recognize, the church members ask the person, how did you get born again? And if they can't tell how they got born again, they get reported to the staff. Because if they can't say how they got born again, they're probably part of the Chinese secret police. I mean, that's just stuff that we don't have to deal with. And so Dale, my brother, looks at Annie and goes, are we done? He goes, we're done. He goes, get your stuff and get out of here. Annie and I, we grabbed my stuff as much as we could. We're walking out of the building, and armed guards are walking in while we're walking out. So we get there. We go back to our hotel, and hours went by, and we found out it was just a local police that had complaints about our meetings. We were having blowout. My brother's given to music, and they were blowing out with praise and worship. Man, they're shouting and they're praising God, and so they just got reported for being really loud at this, you know, like a kind of a mall center place. So we were able to start up the meeting the next day, and man, the Holy Ghost fell, and I'm telling you what. People were coming up to us. I mean, the Holy Ghost fell over the whole entire room. 500 Asians are just getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. And me and my brother and Annie, we're walking through. First of all, the row of people right behind me, they're getting drunker than a skunk. And I just laid my hands on them. They're falling out. And Annie and I started moving around the building. And they had never seen a move of God like that. They weren't pretending. They weren't putting on anything. They had never seen anything like that. We had people come up to us in these Chinese people, and they were taking our hands and putting it on their foreheads. Like they were grabbing our hands and they were grabbing it and putting it on their forehead. We want what you got. So hungry. So hungry. So hungry. I got these images in my face. The kind of hunger that we're talking about. So we have this blowout service. We leave the service and we go to a restaurant. And while we're sitting there at the restaurant, my brother gets a call and the Chinese secret police has raided the building where all these people were there. And here this big blowout meeting we had, and now the Chinese secret police have locked down the building, not letting anyone in or out of the building we just came from. We go to our hotel, our interpreter's in the car with us. It's like a Mission Impossible movie right now. He is deleting all of his contacts. He goes, if I get caught one more time, he goes, I'll be in prison for life. He's doing that while we're in the car, deleting all of his contacts. So we get to the hotel, and we didn't know it but at the time, but there were 17 police cars outside of the building we were in looking for us because we didn't give them our real names. My brother's crusade team gave us some false names, and so they didn't know where we were. We were on the backside. There was all kinds of arms of the building of the hotel that we were at, and we were on the backside. They had to send, we got a phone call saying, hey, you need to leave the hotel, leave your luggage in the room. Don't look at the camera when you get in the elevator. There'll be a car that used to have government plates on it that will swing by and pick you up and take you to the new place where you're going to be going. Well, when the Chinese secret police shut down that auditorium, we had just had the meeting. There was 400 hot meals on the table for all these people that came for the convention. These hot plates, they were all trashed. They were sitting on the table. They ran the people out of their rooms and from that lunch table. And these people, these Chinese people, there was like 350 that made it down to the river. They all went down the river with their luggage, and they're down there, not getting on a bus, not getting on a train, not getting on a plane. They went down the river with their mobile phones, waiting to hear where the meeting's getting ready to be moved to. They didn't go home. They went down the river. They're waiting for the call to know where to go. So we're at our hotel room. We get run out of that meeting. We had to find a new location. We're going to start this meeting up across town. The same meeting, all these 500 leaders. We're going to start up and go to another place. We're going to keep this meeting going. And I got this hotel with my brother. And we're waiting for the new meeting to start up. So the people are starting to refocus back to the new place we're going to meet. And the next morning, Dale and I, my brother and I, stepped out on the veranda. There was a back porch. And all of a sudden, I remembered what the dream was and at the Westin Hotel when the Lord said, fill in the blank. Because my brother looks at me and goes, you know, Kevin, he goes, we didn't receive one offering before this, we got shut down. He goes, I'm on the hook for 10 grand. And just the moment he said that, I said, well, I just had a dream. And here's how the dream went. And the Lord told me to just fill the blank in. So I said, Dale, let's fill in the blank right now. So we got an agreement. We declared together that $10,000 would be met. They went on and had another service. Andy and I, we did something else, but they started to have another meeting, and then that one got shut down. We came back to the States. We go to our first church, Earl Glisson's church, down in the Jacksonville area. And after we got done ministering in the morning service, the pastor said, hey, there's a businessman here. Would you mind if he comes to lunch with us? He's a Raymond graduate, businessman. You might enjoy getting to meet him. I said, yeah, bring him on. So we're at lunch, and this is so fresh. Just a week ago, we just got back from this whole trip and all this stuff that happened and hearing what the Lord said and getting raided in our meeting. And there's so much more to the testimony, but it's kind of crazy. But we're telling the people at this table about what happened. And I said, and this businessman goes, well, you know, what's your brother's name? And I told him what my brother's name was. He goes, can you give me his address? He goes, I'd like to send him something to help out a little bit. Well, he sent him 10 grand. He just wiped out the whole debt. Just at the lunch table, he just wiped the whole entire debt out. And so we filled in the blank. and God supplied the need. So my question is to you, would you like to fill in the blank? Would you like to believe together even that these meetings will take us to a place we've not gone before? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Praise the Lord. Is it just before 12? Okay, my watch was on the other hour, so I was thinking, did I just preach to one? I got translated or I got taken up somehow. Why don't you just lift your hands for just a moment? Let's just engage our spirit. Pray in other tongues if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Is there anybody hungry in here? Is there anybody hungry? Is there anybody here that wants to make room for more? Do you believe you could use some more? You know, I just came out of this revival, and someone that had been deaf in her one ear since she was 13 years old, I think she was close to being 30 years old, she had been deaf since she was 13 years old. In the eighth service, she heard a testimony from a friend of mine that I was ministering with, heard his testimony about these tumors, 52 tumors that someone was healed of. And while he's telling that testimony, this lady who had been through, she had come to every service. While he's telling that testimony, something just popped in her ear. And being deaf from the age of 13, her ear opened up and she started rejoicing and celebrating. Because in the eighth service, well, what if she would have stopped coming after the sixth service? And there was a man there with cancer. We fully believe, we're waiting for the report. The power of God came on him. I was jerking this guy up and like almost throwing up over my head. Am I telling the truth, Annie? I mean, I treated this guy like he was 13 years old. He was probably 75 years old. I had him like flipping over my head, like doing jumping jacks with him. And what I noticed was there were things that happened for these people. There was one lady that was from the Assembly of God. The pastor thought she was Baptist. You know, there's a lot of Baptist people that don't believe in speaking other tongues, and there are some Baptist people that do believe in speaking other tongues. But the pastor thought she was Baptist, and I referred to in her service, do I understand that you come from a Baptist background? Well, somehow it got all mixed up. She goes, no, I've been Assembly of God. Well, how many of you know Assembly of God's believe in speaking other tongues? And so here she was, she's like in her 30s, she's been in the Assembly of God all of her life, never filled with the Holy Ghost. She got the fire of God in her, like she was shaking, trembling. There was a moment when she was shy, and then all of a sudden this new prayer language just came busting out. And she is like the happiest person you can imagine. And after the service, I said, now listen, you know this is just the beginning. She goes, this is just the beginning? Are you kidding? She goes, you mean there's more? I said, sis, there is a lot more. Everyone say there's a lot more. She got a jolt from the Holy Ghost. She got so blessed, hadn't spoken tongues her whole entire life. And in one service, everything that she had wanted, boom, happened to her. And she's going, she had the fire of God go into her. She had never experienced the power of God like that before. Speaking in other tongues, shaking on the power of God. And she goes, you mean there's more than this? I said, get ready. There's a lot more. Everyone, there's a lot more. All the revivals are coming and merging. All the revivals are merging together. And so, why don't we just have it this week? Yeah. You know what? Wouldn't you feel bad if you hear about this group of people going to another church later after this one and hearing like a revival broke out and we stayed there 3 weeks? Wouldn't you hate to hear that? I mean, it's like, well, wait a minute. You mean that could have, something like that could have? Yeah. So why don't you just lift your hands and why don't you just from out of your belly, from out of your spirit, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, pray in other tongues for just a moment with some urgency, with just for a moment, just with a greater desire to engage with Him, respond to Him, to move with Him. to experience Him, to have an encounter with Him, for God to do something in your life that would take you further, take you into the more.